Okay, I want this episode to feel like the equivalent of sunshine and fresh air for you. We're going to go into the energetics of the summer season, and this episode actually comes out on the summer solstice, so we will be sharing and talking about a little bit of fun information about the summer solstice, what it means for you, what it represents, but we're going to be talking about what's in this summer and what's out in terms of hobbies and self-love and routines. And this episode, just like, it felt so good to write it, and I know it's going to feel real good to record it, and I hope that it comes across that way and you can feel that energy. I want you to leave this episode just feeling good. I'm going to inspire you with new practices, hype you up on reminders about how far you've come and some things you may have even forgotten, and I have some little fun goodies for you. I have a full summer solstice yoga class that I'll be linking below. Everything's free. A free meditation that I'll be posting on both here and other apps, but I'll link it below, but it will be the next episode as well. So if you're on Spotify or wherever you're listening to, the next episode should be the summer solstice meditation. And I'll also be sharing some information on Instagram, different fun posts. So make sure to follow over there. Happy holistic hippie. Welcome back to the Happy Hippie Podcast. This is the show that explores all the ways that we can add more happiness into your life, mind, body, and soul, holistically. We talk fitness, nutrition, wellness, girl talk, a little bit of yoga, a little bit of astrology, all of it. Learn new habits, healthy reminders, recipes, and more. I'm your host, Amanda McCormack. I am a yoga teacher, a personal trainer, a nutrition coach, a women's coaching specialist, a content creator, a photographer. I wear many hats, but I'm just exploring what makes me happy, and I want to open you up to that too. So if you're new here, welcome. Join us each week for new topics, meditations, and guest interviews so that you can start living your best life. So I am a summer girly through and through. I've literally been chasing the sun for the past like 3 years. I didn't have a winter for like the longest time, which there is a beauty in both. There's a beauty in having a little bit of all the seasons. But I love summer so much, maybe because I'm a Leo and I was born in summer, but energetically and traditionally in tons of different cultures and traditions, each season carries meanings. And I think that each part of the seasons, having a dark side, a light side, having a transition time, it's all cyclical, which I've talked about in many episodes, how it really adds to the human journey. And it reminds me of the feminine cycle and the moon cycle, how, again, the moon has to go from being dark to completely full. The feminine cycle has literally four seasons. It's just like that. So I'm going to talk a little bit about what summer represents. And just like I've mentioned in the moon episodes, when you kind of focus on different topics in each season, quote unquote, they're going to feel good to do in that season because the energetics align with it. But then during the year, if you're doing a little bit of this type of self-growth work or exploring these topics at different seasons, over the course of a year, you're going to be hitting like so many areas. You know, if you're giving certain a little bit of time to this in this season, and then a little bit of time to that in that season, then during the year, you're going to have like a beautiful, well-rounded kind of life. You know, you get to make sure you're putting a little bit of energy into different cups, if you want to think of it that way. But basically, summer in across up the board, it marks an opportunity for expansion. It's the season of having energy coming out of the dark, the lights coming back. Some people will represent like manifestation and all of that type of energy with it. But it's basically an invitation to fill your life with purpose and passion. It's all about exploration. There's like fire energy to it. There's a beauty in it, you know. It's a transition again from dark to light. Traditionally, that's what the summer solstice marks. It's the coming out of the dark season, the crops, like the physical food that people were growing for years. This is when it starts coming into like its fullest bounty, and that's like what it represents as well. Balance and harmony. It's a time of awakening. Birth, if you want to think about the topic of like birth, well, not literally, because nobody wants to visualize birth right now, but the birth of life, the birth of ideas and projects, excitement, like activation. And again, in relation to the feminine cycle, when you're coming out of your phases. So this one, we have like the menstrual cycle, which is the part where we're kind of like the inner winter. And then after that, you go into your follicular, which is your inner spring. And then you come into ovulation, which is when you have the most energy. So it's just like that. It's physically the time where we're more energetic. We have more daylight. We have more hours to do things. There's so many opportunities, you know, and that's what we're tapping into. So making this a little bit more personal for you, I'm just jumping right into it. We have four journaling questions that I put together. You can answer them later. You can go into your notes app and just write them down real quick. I think they're really good to guide you, not only through this episode, but just through life and through the summer. These four things can help you get in touch with a little bit of the themes of summer and the themes of feeling passionate, feeling creative, exploring, feeling alive, okay? So these questions are going to help you find your own personal, like, your own purpose, you know? So my first question for you is, what makes you come alive? What are the activities? What are the feelings? What are the foods? The things that you enjoy, like that pleasure side of life? What makes you come alive? Trying to tap into a little bit of that this summer, you know? So writing that one down or not. And then number two, it kind of aligns with the first question, but what ignites your creativity? Because I feel sometimes the first question of what makes me come alive, like, I love doing activities where I can like lose myself and kind of go into that flow state, which for me is a lot of like legit like arts and crafts, like childlike arts and crafts, even just like playing like games on the iPad that I can like draw on, going outside, like thinking about things I used to do as a kid. Like, I used to love making potions outside. Like, we used to make potions with, like, you know, like berries and dirt. Mm-mm. But like in real life, I love putting together like cute little drinks, like mocktails, or making like little recipes and making a nice breakfast spread and plating it really nicely and then like eating it outside in the sun. That's like the boring adult version of playing in the mud. But what are the things that make you come alive, and like what ignites your creativity? And that can be so different for so many people, but just tapping into those questions, you don't have to answer them now, but write them down, because I feel like they can help. You can keep them in the back of your mind as we go through this episode as well. And number three is, what do you love to do? Again, we may be hitting the same topics here, but keep trying to expand that list. I gave an activity one time, I believe, on the show. It was from the Artist Way book, and it was writing down like 20 things that you enjoy doing, and just let your mind write them down like on a piece of paper, and then make a column. And in the next column, this is the part that kind of is like, oof, damn, you write down the last time you did that thing. And I was writing down tons of stuff. I think I really did mention this in at least the past like 3 months. I mentioned this in an episode, but I mentioned it last year as well. I did this activity originally last year, and then I went and did like a little audit and like checked in on myself a few months ago. And I remember one of the things I did was like, I wrote down running. And the last time I used to like run like in the mornings and things like that was like 5 years ago. And I truly did not believe it was that long, you know, because I said, oh, what lights you up? And I'm like, well, I do like the feeling of like when I go on a run. So I wrote down running. And then when I thought back on it, I was like, girl, it was before the pandemic is the last time I went for like a big run. And this was, again, last year when I was writing that down. And so I tapped into that and tried to sprinkle in some runs during this year, just for fun, like not as like if I was feeling up to it, which we'll talk about that a little more in the episode that kind of comes back into it. But if I was feeling up to it, I just like allowed myself to do it. Photography, I wrote down too, and I now have a photography business. So doing that activity was, one, really productive in a way in my life. It really added value to it, but it also just opened my eyes. And I go back to that list when I'm bored, when I have free time, when I'm on vacation, anything. And I look at that list and I'm like, these are things that I know light me up and I haven't done them in a minute, so let's try this one. And it could literally be using colored pencils. Like, there's no right or wrong with it. But again, I'm going to go over those three questions I just said. So what makes you come alive? What ignites your creativity? What do you love to do? And the last one is, who in your community inspires you? Now, community can be legit, like in person, people who surround you, proximity wise, like where you live, if you're in college, whatever, but it can also be online. So for me, but like, I honestly have, like, there's like influencers who's doing something that you want to do, like who has a dream job, a dream career. Like, I follow people in the creative industries that I like love their workflow. I love the fact that they can like travel while they work, that type of thing. So who inspires you? It could also be on the flow, the level of, if you have a yoga teacher that inspires you, or like literally a parent. This again sounds like a childhood question that somebody would ask you like on career day, but truly finding people who they're doing something, like, I admire the way that that person handles people and can communicate with people and, like, knows how to keep their calm and they pause and they actually listen when they talk to you. Like, that's an awesome quality. Just noticing things that inspire you this summer. So again, those last four questions: what makes you come alive? What ignites your creativity? What do you love to do? And who in your community inspires you? I just wanted to spend like 5 minutes with those questions because I did them this morning. And I'm recording this episode and I don't have my journal with me, but I did do this morning and I just felt like it lit me up and it got me into this really great mood to record this episode because it reminds you. And a lot of what we're going to be talking about is reminding yourself how far you've come in life and reminding yourself of all the great things around you, because we do get caught up in the everyday motions of life where we kind of, you know, we pull away from the present moment. We're thinking about what's going on tomorrow. We're seeing that person. We're thinking about our past with them. We're just not in the present sometimes. And I feel like these questions remind you of all the beauty and things that you bring to this world and that you can tap into at any time. So save those, because using summer as a time for like self-discovery, trying new things, we're going to get a little bit more into that later, but that is a beautiful theme and something you can apply to your life this summer. And yeah, I don't know. If you've noticed, I actually had to actually take a little bit of time because I think I skipped last week putting up an episode. I was doing a lot of work for the month of May, and then I put out an episode or two and then I stopped. And not that I didn't like the last two episodes, but I feel like I almost wanted to just get an episode up and I put down the time to record, but I feel like I had so many fun ideas and I'm a perfectionist sometimes and I wanted to put so much effort into creating these episodes and bringing them to life, but I actually spent time doing the opposite. Instead of putting pressure on myself to record, I spent a lot of time splitting up my days by doing work, but then allowing myself to have this time to tap into these things that make me feel alive, that make me feel creative. I've been doing a lot of stuff like that, and I feel like so much more of myself. And even this morning, like I said, I started my day with that, and I went right into this episode, and everything just really almost, however you want to believe it, but like divinely kind of came to me, and I just felt like they were like downloads. I was like, this is exactly what I want to talk about today. It's the perfect day to do it. I'm feeling in the mood. Like, we're going to get into it. So let's go into part two, which is a little bit about manifestation and celebration. So when you think about the moon cycle, the new moon, the full moon, and the time in between, typically, I have a whole episode as well, if you want to check it out, on the moon cycle, where I talk about the full moon is kind of the end of a cycle. And you're ending a cycle, you're ending a phase, and you want to release things, and then you gradually build into the new moon, which is the fruition of coming up with new ideas. And before you can come up with new ideas and things you want in your life, you have to make room, so you have to let go of the old, and that's symbolically what the moon cycle represents. And the seasons are also the same kind of thing, where it's like the winter is a time where you go inward and focus on the inward things, and then you can now have time and energy to do physical creation work, all of that in the summer, because you spent that nice time inside and going within and nourishing in the winter. But I feel like a lot of the time there's almost a pressure when we talk about these things, where it's like manifestation and you're thinking so much about, because if you've ever read Abraham Hicks or any books on law of attraction, I did an episode on law of attraction, either was it the last episode or two episodes ago, because I'm getting a little confused, but it was recent. And I was talking about how sometimes we're actually in the lack, like we want something so bad that we're actually constantly feeling the lack of not having it. So we're not even aligning ourselves with what we actually want, because we're focusing so much on the feeling of, I don't have this thing, I want it so bad, and I'm feeling the lack of not having it. And that's where we actually spend a lot of time, or I'd say society traditionally, like when you're unaware, that's where you spend that time. But I feel like there's a pressure sometimes where it's like, okay, so we have all these manifestation like rituals, and like you write stuff down and then release it, and then you want to spend your time not thinking about it, or you're like, I want to boost my attracting power by doing all these things, and there's almost a pressure to it sometimes. So I want to view the summer season, even though the summer season is technically a time where things do come to fruition, we have more energy, we have more daylight, we have that energy around us that we can work on these projects and ideas and things like that, but it doesn't mean we have to be go, go, go. We can use this time, and this is how I want to rephrase it, viewing manifestation, viewing this energy, this period of life, as taking your foot off the pedal and just enjoying being present, because we can heavily focus on, because what they say a lot of the times too, if you're looking at this from the solstice point of view, in the winter solstice, you kind of reflect back on how you have changed and grown since the winter solstice, which is like 6 months ago, you know? So you look at the last half of the year, and a lot of the times I feel like we're hard on ourselves when we reflect, you know, we said that we, during the new year or whatever, we set these intentions or goals or whatever, and then we see where we are now, and sometimes we get that like sense of disappointment, frustration, we're not where we want to be, or we look back on last year and we're like, oh, I'm still doing this thing, or I thought that this would happen by now, I'm this age, whatever. You know, and that's when we start to like slip back into that lack feeling, and it becomes a cycle of we're like, oh, I want to like quote unquote like manifest these things, but I'm just like suffering in a way, or the suffering comes from us being harsh on ourselves. So I want to promote the idea of almost taking your foot off the pedal, stop trying to like push and make things happen, and just enjoy being present, or just enjoy where you are. So our main idea this summer is celebration, like celebrating everything that you have moved through, like literally looking back the past 6 months, the past year, and yeah, there's maybe things that you're like, in the big picture, you're like, oh, I don't have that now, but there are so many things that you're literally overlooking, because as a human, it's our tendency to pull away and be focused on so many other things that sometimes we don't remember all the great stuff that we've gone through, you know? Like, think about how much you have grown and you have changed, like, in the past year in a great way, or the past 2 years, and all the little things, like the little successes, we sometimes overlook them. Think about how much wisdom you have today versus a year ago. Think about all the things that you've done and all the stuff that you've tried to do in terms of increasing your education on a topic, or you've just read all these books. You know so many more things now than you knew then. You've improved in so many ways, and it's like a time to celebrate where you are now, because sometimes where you are now is a space that you never thought you actually would have been standing in 5 years ago, but because you were so focused then on what you have now, and right now you're so focused on quote unquote what you don't have in the future, what you want. So just taking that time to step back and being like, wow, we can actually like appreciate everything that we absorbed and everything that we learned and what has manifested in your life. You know, we can look at what we already have and be grateful for it. And I want to share a practice that I actually got because I've been rereading the Abraham Hicks book Ask and It Is Given. And the first half of the book talks about the law of attraction, all that stuff. But the second half has, I think it's like 20 different practices that you can put into your life depending on how you're feeling. So they have an emotional guidance scale. And when you're feeling really low, they give you practices to kind of boost yourself. And when you're feeling really good and high, they give you practices to kind of maintain that. And this is their number one process. And girl, I can't remember the name. I'm going to get up and go look at the name, because I actually, like, I hyped it up. I'm like, and this is the process. And I don't know the name. Let me go look at the name, because I'm forgetting. Okay, I'm glad I got up to look at it, because I knew the name itself. The name itself is just so cool. It's such a fun name. Like, oof, I'm so for it. It is called The Rampage of Appreciation. That's what this practice is called. And I really loved it. Like, the name's just so fierce. But basically what it is wherever you are, you're going to notice something around you that is visually pleasing. Whatever it can be. If you're in your car, if you're sitting outside, if you're in your room, take a moment just to notice something that is pleasing to you, and then start to put your attention on that object. You could do it now. You could save it, but you can also do it now. And just start to feel like gratitude for it. Because again, the whole thing about the human experience is a lot of the times we spend our time not in the present, not noticing what's around us, even though we think we are. We're not really doing that. So it's looking around in your immediate environment and noticing something that pleases you. And then once you notice, like, spend time on it for a few moments. Like, for me, I'm in a room right now and I'm like, wow, this room is painted such a pretty color of blue. And then I can start to appreciate that color blue, and I can think about how I love blue and blue really lights me up. It's like my favorite color. And then once I notice that my feeling is improved, I can appreciate that. And I can be like, wow, I feel really good. And then once that's achieved, then you can just look for something else next door. So where I'm recording right now, I have all my necklaces hanging up, and I'll have all my necklaces on the wall, and they're so pretty, and I have like crystals on them, and I'm looking at them, and like I'm really appreciating I have so many of them. And yeah, they're not like designer necklaces, but like I've made some of them, and that's so cool, and I'm really appreciative that I was able to do that. Some of the necklaces I bought in my travels, and they remind me of it. I bought them from like local vendors, and it was so cool that I was able to like go to those places and communicate with people and have those conversations, and now I have a piece of their art in my house and I can wear it whenever. So it's things like that, and I feel good, so then I can look at something else. But the objective of the activity is to choose things that easily like invoke your appreciation. So when you're driving and let's say you're in traffic, you can start noticing like, I'm very thankful to be driving this car. This car is like taking me to work. Like, I'm feeling good. I'm glad that I have my job. Like, it's cool that I'm able to get money each month. Like, I can do so many things with that. Like, I'm really grateful for that. I'm grateful that I know these roads. I don't have to use a GPS every time I drive. It's a rampage of appreciation. It's taking time to literally notice things in your nearby environment, and you can do it anywhere. You can do it especially like when you're feeling maybe like the driving example, if you're in traffic and you can feel that, oh, I'm about a snap kind of feeling coming up, where you're getting impatient or frustrated. But when you're in traffic, you really can't change that, you know? So, but you can control and you can change how you feel, and you can do that by noticing the things around you. So wanted to share the Rampage of Appreciation, one, because of the name, but two, because it's a great activity to tap into what I was talking about, where it's noticing what you have and being grateful for it. Because when you're actually in a phase of gratitude and appreciation, that's when you're going to attract more good things into your life. And in general, you're just going to feel good. If you don't believe in any of that stuff, you're genuinely going to feel good. And why would you not want to feel good? That's what this podcast is all about. So tap into that this summer. Make that your view of manifestation. Don't feel like you're forcing yourself to do something, or if you're getting too tied up into stuff. We're putting pressure on ourselves all the time in life. Let this be something that is an enjoyable thing. So feeling good, celebrating your success, celebrating where you are now, the wisdom you have, the wisdom you're going to gain, and tapping into that rampage of appreciation over the summer whenever you feel like you're maybe moving down that emotional scale and you want to bring yourself back up to a good vibe. So letting things be, we're not gripping on to stuff. Like, we have an expectation for things to happen this summer. We're releasing our grip, we're taking our foot off the pedal, and we're having a no pressure summer. That's the goal. Okay, part three of the episode, we're gonna go into what's in and what's out this summer. I think I have three or four of these, so I'm gonna say what's in, we're gonna talk a little bit about what's in, and then we're gonna talk about what we're replacing. So what is out this summer? So the first thing I have is romanticizing your life. So what's in this summer? Romanticizing your life, finding things, finding the beauty, finding the main character syndrome in your everyday life. I have a full episode on this. It's about being the main character, how to boost your confidence and feel like, quote unquote, a main character when you walk into a room. That came out, I believe, either in April or March, so it should not be that far down. If you just scroll boop boop a few episodes down, it should be there for you. But we're going to talk about how this is your life, and sometimes we do get caught up in what I'm going to say is the out, which is comparison. And it's so easy to do that. I understand. I find myself doing it. I honestly find myself comparing the most on Instagram out of all of the social media apps. Here's my little method. So I feel like TikTok, I get stuck in the most. So when I like scroll, TikTok is where I will end up scrolling for the longest amount of time. So what I do to avoid that is I'll use Lemon8, which is another social media app. It's very Pinteresty. It's literally just a lot of ideas and inspiration. So I'll go on there to scroll. Like, I'll scroll on Pinterest or Lemonade, because those two things will like inspire me more. Like, if I need to decompress, because sometimes I really do feel like when you're done with like work, or just like sometimes phone calls or like social things, I need to like scroll on my phone for a minute. Obviously there's probably better things to do, but sometimes it just feels right. It just feels right to scroll. And if I feel like I need to scroll, I'll try to step in and control it and like change the narrative and scroll on Lemonade or Pinterest rather than Instagram and TikTok, because TikTok, I don't compare myself as much, but I scroll for a long time. And Instagram, I find myself comparing. I do, because it comes back to either, because I have like 5 Instagram accounts, I manage 2 of them for other people, and then I have 3 of them on my own. So I have like so many different types of people coming in on all the feeds. But I find that on my personal feed, I'll follow a lot of like influencer people, and not like I've cut out a lot of people, but there's still people that inspire me, and I follow them because they inspire me. And sometimes I'll feel a bit of envy, which again is totally normal. And that, like I said, envy is showing you that's something you want. It's something that's aligned. And it reminds me like, oh, okay, maybe I should take more steps towards that idea or give the attention on my end to the things that are going to help me get to that area. But sometimes I'm just like, the reason I'm scrolling is because like, I just need to like decompress, and I don't need to be comparing myself in those times, you know? So I feel like Instagram is definitely a big component for myself personally. Like, that's just my, maybe related to that, because I feel like it is super relatable. But we're done comparing this summer, so I'm cutting back on my scrolling time. I'm trying to stay strong with when I go on Instagram to just post and not scroll and look at people's stuff. I've been pretty good at it. Like I said, I've been using the idea of when I really feel like I have to like itch the scrolling part of my brain, Pinterest or Lemonade. But in totality, I'm trying to like cut back on my scrolling, because I feel there is a correlation between scrolling on social media and me feeling like I need to compare. And sometimes it's even like I see people wearing a certain type of pants or shirt, and I like find myself like shopping, and it is a form of comparison where I'm like, I love those pants. And it's like, a lot of the time these people are getting paid. Like, you have to remember, a lot of the time when people are like pushing products on you, they're getting paid. If they're linking it and you got to go to their like to know, they're getting paid, which is like not bad. Like, obviously they have those clothes or whatever and they like it, but it ends up making me compare my current quote-unquote wardrobe to theirs, and I'm like, ooh, I love those pants, like, let me go look at them. And I just find myself comparing a lot in material items sometimes, I guess, because it's a lot of clothing. Like, I love fun outfits and putting together fun outfits, and I find myself sometimes comparing, not in a negative way, but it ends up having me spend money on clothes, because I'm like scrolling, I'm like, ooh, love those pants, or ooh, that's like. So I find that romanticizing your life and comparing it to other people are two sides of the coin. And I find that social media, honestly, at the moment is the one thing that, because without social media, like, I spend a lot of time alone. I spend a lot of time with people in my community, but I also spend time alone, and I don't really find myself comparing when I'm with myself. So I'm trying to lean into more offline activities. So instead of comparing, I want to spend time doing things that, like, when you watch a movie, maybe not movies that have come out in the past year, but because I feel like a lot of the movies nowadays, like, people will be on their cell phones, but if you think about movies that came out a few years ago, like, the reason you're watching these characters is because they're so immersed in their story or whatever activity they're doing that you're watching them, you're not watching them scroll. So if you want to be like a main character and kind of romanticize your life, like, part of this, I'm not saying this just to you, this is something that, like, I just explained I'm working on myself, is to not be on my phone as much. Because if I was a main character of a movie, nobody's watching my movie if I'm literally watching TikToks. It's kind of just like, I don't know, like, you know what I'm saying with that? Yeah, so part of my thing is romanticizing my life by leaning into doing more present moment fun activities, things, especially because it's summertime, we can get outside and do those things. Leaning into that this summer and trying to scroll less and compare less when it comes to people on social media. So that is my first in and out. My second in and out kind of builds on what I just said. What is in this summer? Natural dopamine, natural sources of those feel good hormones in your body. Like, the cool thing about summer is, kind of wherever you are, actually, that's totally a lie. And I just remembered, like, as I'm filming this episode, like, half the globe is in a different season. So apologies if it's actually not, because it's going into the winter season over there. So anyway, but most of the summer side of the globe, it's gonna be nicer weather where you can get outside and do these things. The sun is gonna be out longer, we have longer days, and so on. So thinking about ways to get natural dopamine by going outside, finding yourself in an adventure of some sort, swimming, going near a body of water, the blue mind theory is literally that your body and your brain feels happier by bodies of water. Maybe take your work somewhere outside where there's like a lake or the ocean or some source of water. We have sunshine. The sun rises earlier. You can do more early morning activities. You can even have late night adventures because it's nicer to be outside. But finding ways to tap into natural sources of dopamine versus what's out, which is finding artificial sources of dopamine, which actually, again, comes from the phone and TV. And this is hard for me to say because I'm like, yeah, less TV. But at the same time, Love Island is out. So that's really hard for me to say because I'm like, less TV this summer, but yet Love Island's on every single night. And you're like, ooh. So minus Love Island, less TV. But you know what I'm saying? Like, we're trying to find natural sources of dopamine. That's what's in the summer. Going outside, trying to find those things. Whenever you're feeling a little antsy, step outside. Even if you're doing work, step outside. Give yourself 5 minutes in the morning or 5 minutes in the evening. Go outside and breathe. Do a guided meditation, or if that's too much for you, sometimes I like to do guided breath works or listening to a sound bath while I'm doing something else, like drawing or reading. Go on BookTok, man. Go on BookTok and find some new summer reads, because there are so many fun reads out there, whether you're into fantasy, like sci-fi fantasy, whether into summer romance stories. I just saw this TikTok the other day. I may buy them. I think I'm going to buy the books. There's like two or three of them. And also, Conversations with Friends. I've had that book forever, never read it. Love Normal People, but I've never read it. And I saw this one TikTok, and this girl was like, let's read about affairs this summer. She's like, nobody has affairs in the winter. People have affairs in the summer. And she listed like five juicy like novels that kind of like go around that topic. And there was one of them that takes place in like the French Riviera. Then there was like Conversations with Friends. There was one that takes place in like in LA. I have the TikTok. I can't link it because it's like somewhere saved. But I am going to buy like two or three of the books so I can share on Instagram what those books' names are, because I don't know them off the top of my head. But literally finding a natural source of dopamine, getting yourself engulfed in like a story like that, like an exciting story over the summer, like a beach read type book or whatever. For me, it's still probably going to be fairies. I love reading Greek mythology in the summer though, and yeah, fairy books. And I'm going to try some of these fancy affair books, but we'll see. Less artificial dopamine, trying to find natural sources of dopamine is what we're going to do this summer. I keep building. So we're going to build onto the next point. What is in? Hear me out. Please hear me out. Morning exercise. Now, there's actually a thing, because I have ADHD and I've been researching a lot on different things. But when you do exercise in the morning, it doesn't have to be a full-blown workout. It could be getting out of bed and doing like a 10-minute YouTube yoga, starting your day, and then doing your exercise in the evening if that's like how your schedule's aligned. But doing some source of exercise in the morning, it is going to give you dopamine, it is going to get the endorphins going, and it's actually easier for people who have ADHD, but just across the board, I feel like it also is a good thing when you have those things going in your body, like source of dopamine, the endorphins moving, like you're feeling good. You can go into your work and you can be more focused, and you can also be more energized when you do physical work, which is something that I am trying, and it's true because I've noticed that in my life too, but I'm trying to add more of that in. So morning exercise is in. Doing, because again, we have more hours like in our day, we can try to do it, and it's something that I'm trying. So again, these are some goals that I'm also personally sharing. And what's out is doing exercise that you truly hate because you think it's the only way. And I have, across the board, I have like three different certifications in exercise, and I've been in the fitness quote-unquote community for, how old am I, oh my god, I have to start doing math live now. I've been exercising for like almost like eight, like lifting and all of that stuff for like 8 years. So what I've noticed and what I've gathered is I've gone through phases, and I see other people as well. Exercise and exercise science, as long as you're moving your body in some way, like truly finding things that work for you, you can build a healthy routine. And I've mentioned this type of topic in other episodes where, yes, there is a science. If you want to have the results that strength training bring you, you do need to be sprinkling in a little bit of strength training into your routine, yes. But it doesn't have to take over. You can truly strength train twice a week. And then if you love yoga, you can do yoga during the week, you know, like there's ways that you can make it work for you, which not to plug any services or anything like that, but like coaches can help you with those things. But you can also do it yourself in terms of just recognizing and sitting down with yourself and being like, hey, I hate, it's an example, I hate running. But there's a part of you that mentally thinks that running is what makes you quote unquote lose weight. And losing weight is something that you're super focused on because that's something, it's like a wound that's in you. And that example was literally what I used to do when I was like 18. I used to run like, girl, I used to run so much and I would lift and I would do all this stuff. And it was all to shrink myself. And I had to work on going within and also educating myself on more areas in fitness, but also going within and healing those parts of me, because a lot of the times, these issues come from, like, that's why when I even did like just plain fitness coaching, I knew there was more to it, which is how I got into all of this stuff, like self-development and habits and learning about yourself and working through like even like shadow work in your childhood and figuring things out, because that's what actually will bring you happiness. And then once your mindset is all good and dandy, your exercise feels like a gift, you know. Like I look at exercise now as a way of like, I do these things because I enjoy them. I've been taking like reformer classes. I take a little bit of yoga, but I still, unfortunately, I still strain train twice a week because I know it's good for me, especially for like a woman and as you age and things like that. So scientifically, I still do those things, but I do enjoy it. And I look at it and it's more enjoyable for me because at the phase I'm in now, I don't want to strain train 5 days a week, but I still like strain training. I do. But I almost went through like a burnout with it, which is crazy because again, I love it. It was becoming my job, which is why I think I became burnt out with it. It was because I made something I loved my job, which is not a bad thing, but my mindset wasn't great about it. And I felt like it was becoming overwhelming. Like I felt like I was forcing myself to do it. And I was comparing myself online. And I felt like, I was like, oh my God, I'm a trainer, but like I can be stronger in this area, or like this can look bigger, or that can do that. Like, and it just got so much. And I actually took time off of, lifting and went to travel, and when like was living in different places where I couldn't access like heavy lifting materials. And now that I have a car and I can like move around and I can lift again, I enjoy it. But I took time off. I was still moving my body in different ways, but I took time off to explore different ways of movement. And this again may not be relatable to you, so I'm not going to talk about this forever, but I just wanted to say that example because I took time off of it and now I enjoy it even more. But during the time off is when I switched my mindset, you know? So we're not doing things, we're not forcing ourselves to do exercise that we hate. Use this summer to try different types of exercise. Maybe try new classes. Take things outside. Sometimes taking things outside is better. Sometimes it's worse. So play around with it. But we're gonna, in is doing exercise you love and trying maybe to try exercise in the morning and see if you like it. Start your day off on the right foot, win the morning, win a day. And out is doing exercise that we hate, okay? And moving on to our final point, which again builds onto the idea of doing exercise we hate because we think we have to do it, we're trying to shrink ourselves. What's in? Appreciating our bodies, like taking the time to actually appreciate what our bodies do for us, maybe doing a rampage of appreciation about different body parts, you know? And it's so much easier said than done to be like, haha, just appreciate your body. Like, just appreciate your body, duh. And then move on, because it's so easy for me to sit here and say that into the microphone. But something I want to work on this summer as our theme is, I have to tell you what the out is to give you more information about what I mean by appreciating your body. So I'm going to talk a little bit about the out and kind of circle back, okay? So the fear of being seen, that's out this summer. That is out. We are done with that feeling. Okay, because there's a few things when it comes to appreciating our bodies. We need to work on some things that a lot of the times when we don't feel like safe in our bodies, like the way it looks, the way it feels, whatever it is, it comes down to we have a fear of being seen or a fear of rejection of how we look or are perceived that we need to work on. So I want to share a little bit about that. I can also do an entire episode on this topic because I have been working on this. This has been like my theme the past like bit. So let me know if you like this topic. But again, when we don't feel safe to be seen by the world, like we don't feel that our authentic self, whether that's physical or our ideas or what we share, then we don't feel safe in our bodies. And when we don't feel safe in our bodies, we actually need to regulate our nervous system because our body's like almost like shut down and things like that. I can go into it a lot more, but nervous system regulation. Try typing that in on Instagram, TikTok, or YouTube. There's tons of cool techniques out there. And at the end of the day, yes, yoga, meditation, breath work, those activities in that area do help with it. But a fear of being seen, again, is a fear of judgment, a fear of rejection, which is why we sometimes feel bad about how our bodies look or are perceived. And the energetics behind fear of being seen is basically not wanting other people to judge you because they'll reject you. And rejection, again, this can come from, if you want to get into like the shadow work of it, this can come from like a childhood wound where if you wore something as a kid or spoke up or bullied, anything like that, and you were rejected, your body internalized it. And a lot of the reasons that happens, or a lot of the reasons in general, like people talk about childhood and inner child work, is because when we're growing up, our brain is developing. And when your brain is developing, it has theta waves. So that's what it's like thinking it. So there's different type of brain waves, but primarily when you're in developing brain, you're thinking in theta waves. Your subconscious brain thinks in theta waves. So everything that you're hearing and seeing and experiencing when you're growing up in a developing brain waves, again, which is theta, your body internalizes it. Like your mind internalizes it because it believes, your subconscious mind believes everything it hears to be true. And since your subconscious mind runs in the same type of waves that your brain has when it's developing, I hope this makes sense because I'm breaking it down like I think it is. You just internalize everything that you take in as a kid. So that's why it's so impactful to you today. So if anything, for me, like I had like some bullying stuff. So I feel like that's why I had a little bit of the fear of rejection. But you can deep dive on that. But it is an interesting thing because a lot of the times, a lot of these fears that we have, or again, I was talking about body appreciation. So a lot of body stuff comes from the fear of being seen, which comes from the fear of judgment, which stems from a fear of rejection, which comes to this. So that's why it's like all unpacking, basically. And we won't go into that too much. But again, it comes down to not wanting other people to judge you because they'll reject you. So we need to learn how to, like again, like everything we're saying, be present, appreciate what we have in the present moment, and be okay with quote unquote rejection, and teach our body to be okay again with quote-unquote rejection, because that change is what's going to change the patterns and help us feel better and get through these feelings. Because in a weird way, just like envy, just how envy is a tool, rejection is a tool. So rejection is a tool for humans, basically, to for us to experience it and feel unconditional in our love for ourselves. So we can go through rejection, and if we basically put our worth in external circumstances, external people, and people reject us, then we feel like we don't have that love for ourselves or that worth. But rejection basically reminds us that we can like still feel loved without putting our worth in external circumstances, because again, our worth doesn't belong there. So rejection can show us like other people can reject us, but I can still do what I want to do and be who I want to be and love who I am and accept who I am. So that's like, I guess, the end goal of what rejection is. But sometimes again, we take rejection really personally, and I'm speaking from experience too, but we don't use it, I guess, in the way that I'm explaining it, but that's what it is. So if you reframe your mindset into remembering that rejection is a tool for us to use so that we can be unconditional in our love for ourselves, and rejection reminds us that we can feel loved without like putting our worth in other people and other circumstances, because our worth does not belong there. Like our worth is only judged by ourselves. And again, like we can't, like, cause we want acceptance from other people. Like that's what our desire is. We want to be accepted, and we can't force acceptance. You know, we only have control over accepting ourselves, and not over if like other people will accept us. So there is an exercise that I've done, which has helped me with like, ironically, like showing up online, because like I have a few different like businesses and I have to like show up, and sometimes it's like a little scary, and I feel like it comes from this type of thing. But again, body image stuff can come from it as well. There's an exercise of viewing other people as their highest self. So remembering that everybody like has a higher self, like you have your higher self, and a higher self is basically like the pure, whatever words you want to use, but the pure form of a soul. So a soul that's not like tarnished by trauma or experiences, just like that person's true soul, kind of like a baby, like the true soul, right? And a lot of the times, if I am scared of, let's say, showing up on like my Instagram stories, or you're scared of showing up to a concert in a certain outfit, something like that, you can in your mind, or write it down, do this exercise where you write, like, it sounds so weird, but it's not, you trust me, okay? You write a letter to yourself from those people that you're scared of being rejected by, but as those people's highest self. So let's say you have a group of friends and you feel embarrassed to like wear a certain outfit or show up or show more skin over the summer in front of them, so you cover up a little bit more. Or it can be your family. Like, let's say you don't want to wear shorts over the summer in front of your family because there's family members that make comments or something like that. Whatever the issue is, I'm trying to be really broad with it. You can write a letter from that person's higher self. So not from them, but it is from them, but it's from their like pure soul version, because it helps you remember that everybody goes through their own stuff and everybody's comments and words actually comes from their own like traumas and things that they go through. So you can write a letter from that person's higher self to yourself and write something along the lines of like, no, I'm so sorry that like you feel this way, because that's actually not true. Like, I don't want to have you stopping yourself. I don't want to be stopping you from being yourself in this lifetime, because you know, you talk as that person in their highest wisdom self, and you write that letter to yourself. Or you can even just meditate and imagine these situations where you're laying there and you imagine, let's say it's like a cousin that says these things to you, you can imagine that cousin in their higher self form saying like, I literally would never want you to stop being yourself or stop showing up as yourself in this lifetime due to like my own actions. And sometimes hearing that just reminds you that everybody, like truly inside, nobody's out to get you. Everybody has their own things that they're going through, and everything they're saying and sharing is their own conditioned kind of point of view of the world. And it's helped me with a few things, so I wanted to share that exercise as well. But that's a little bit about it. I hope that view, the kind of perception twist of rejection and that perception twist of everybody as their higher self, can help you a little bit appreciate your body and kind of work through that fear of being seen. I could have gone a different way, I feel, on the topic of appreciation of your bodies and like self-love, but some of the stuff I feel like you've heard, so I just wanted to bring like a little bit of a different perspective to it for this episode. But that's where we're going to end it. I hope that those topics stay with you and that you can get something out of this. But this is the summer episode, and again, we have a free meditation and a free yoga class. All will be linked below. So if you want to keep going with this energy, learn a little bit more about your solar plexus, which is what we talk about in the yoga class, and maybe even save it for tomorrow morning to do your exercise in the morning before you get started, you can. So that is it from me. Make sure to follow me over on Instagram at Happy Holistic Hippie. Again, I'll be posting some supplemental information that goes with this episode, so feel free to check that out. If you are listening right now, maybe you could drop a quick 5 stars on whatever platform you're listening on, because it really does help me out. I make this podcast myself, and I want to bring more out with this podcast, and that helps me so much, and it takes 2 seconds to do. So if you at all enjoy the episode, make sure to drop a little 5 stars. You don't have to even write a review, but just a quick 5 stars really helps me out. And if this is something at any point in this episode you heard that resonates with you, or you think would resonate with a friend, make sure to share with them, and maybe someone else can get something out of this. And then you can feel good knowing that you spread this information to somebody else. But I hope you have a wonderful day. We will tap back into some of these topics coming up soon on the show. But enjoy your day, and happy solstice.